Hello and welcome to Archaeology News Weekly. I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. The stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And now a little bit of local news from us, and that's about our community archaeology site that we're working on in Midlothian. Yes, Badger has been out in the field. And together with a group of young archaeologists from Midlothian and East Lothian, with locals from the village of Cowsland and from the Archaeological Society, the EAFS, we have done field walking, geophysics, and believe it or not, found a lost mid-18th century redware and creamware pottery. We're really quite chuffed with ourselves. So, with that out of the way, I'm afraid we'll have to go to the headlines from around the world, which pale into insignificance next to that find. Megalithic art is found at a Lismullen souterrain. Prehistoric remains are unearthed in Ohio, and good news as visitors flock to a Scottish Crannog Centre. A prehistoric city is discovered in East China. However, a man-made flood is threatening an ancient Russian settlement. Strong stomachs only, as we report that sick rams were used as ancient bioweapons in Anatolia, and an ancient coffin is unearthed in central China. And back to the debate again, genetics now show that Americas were populated via Alaska. Well, that's until next week anyway. In Oregon, local tribes are trying to save a 2,500-year-old site, and finally, rock art in Egypt is under threat from tourists. A decorated stone bearing megalithic art similar to that at Newgrange and Nowth, which are dated to around 3000 BCE, has been found incorporated into part of an early historic souterrain, currently being dismantled as part of the M3 archaeological works in the vicinity of the Henge at Lismullen in the Gavra Valley in County Meath in Ireland. The nearest examples of megalithic art are to be found in the passage tombs of the Mound of the Hostages on the summit of the Hill of Tara. It exhibits a series of motifs currently found in passage tomb contexts, such as concentric circles, nested arcs and zigzags. It's likely that the stone was robbed from a nearby passage tomb during the construction of the souterrain in the early centuries of the AD. Instead, it has been suggested that the large mound in the grounds of Lismullen House may have been that of a passage tomb. The excavation of the Henge and the souterrain continue and will probably be completed before Christmas. Save Tara campaigners are asking the EU and the Commissioner to take an injunction against the Irish government to stop all attempts at construction in the short disputed section of the M3 in the valley until the European Court of Justice has completed its deliberations on this case. Beside the Scioto River in Ohio, USA, archaeologists found fire pits, shards of pottery, and even the traces of an ancient building dating to around 550 BCE. This week, Ryan Weller and his team found something more, a human skeleton buried on the riverbank as long ago as 2,500 years. The archaeologists said that they may have uncovered a prehistoric burial site, in fact, as only one burial has been confirmed so far, with a skeleton that appears to be largely intact, but another spot there appears to be the remains of a cremation, and other clues are suggesting that more burials will be found nearby. Weller has been assessing the property's historical value before a pumping station is built there. The site appears to have been a seasonal encampment for people who lived during the early woodland time period. What makes this period so interesting is it being the time that the first farmers were coming to the Ohio Valley. They were still hunting, gathering and fishing, but had begun the process of settling down into villages and growing crops. As their gates have closed for the season, the Iron Age team at the Scottish Crannog Centre are celebrating a remarkable and hugely successful 10th anniversary year. The buzz began in pre-season when the centre formally joined 7 other European archaeological open-air museums in a Culture 2000 project known as LiveArc. You can find that at www.livearc.eu. That's LiveArch. The aim of the three-year project is to share best practice and skills between partners in Germany, Hungary, Italy, Latvia, Netherlands, Norway, Scotland and Sweden. The Iron Age team went on to offer around 50 events during the year, inspired by archaeological discoveries, ancient traditions relating to festivals, agricultural cycles and the environment, and the craft skills of Tayside Loch dwellers. In tribute to these ancestors, the Cranog crew organised a Go Native festival to mark the official date of the centre's 10th anniversary. Opened on the 19th of July, the four-day celebrations featured prehistoric cooking, wood and metalworking, hunting and fishing equipment, textiles and other skills. In recognition of the team's efforts to minimise impact on the environment and to provide visitors with a top-quality experience, the Scottish Cranog Centre has been awarded a Gold Award from the Green Tourism Business Scheme. These tributes round off an incredibly rewarding year, reflected also in the significant increase in tourists throughout the season, setting a new record with nearly 30,000 visitors. The team now face a busy winter of maintenance and the development of new resources and programmes for 2008. Volunteers are always welcome. So check out the website at www.cranog.co.uk. That was www.cranog.co.uk. Chinese archaeologists said they have discovered the remains of an ancient city in eastern Zhejiang province. Based on the remains, experts estimate that the ancient city covered an area of around 3 square kilometres, and there are still portions of walls as high as 4 metres at the site. The location of the ancient city was very carefully selected and has been dated to around 4,150 to 5,250 years ago. I have to say, it seems to be quite hard to lose a city of that size, but it just shows what's still out there to be found in the world. A large settlement dating back to the 1st century BCE has been found in the Russian Republic of North Ossetia. But since the archaeological site is in the valley next to a hydro plant under construction, there's a race against time to unlock its secrets before it's flooded. Most of the 60 people working at the site in the Zaramag Valley are amateurs with professionals guiding them. Every day they find tools and weapons, ceramics that once belonged to the ancient tribe of the Alans, the ancestors of the modern Ossetians. But in just a few weeks' time the whole valley will be flooded and it will become a reservoir for the Zaramag hydro plant. The archaeologists regret that they may not be able to finish their work, saying they did everything they could to prolong their stay in the valley, but there was just no way to explore such a large area in such a short time, as it's impossible to excavate an area of 8,000 square metres in just 3 months. Infected rams and donkeys were the earliest known bioweapons, according to a new study which dates the use of biological warfare back to more than 3,300 years ago. According to a review published in the Journal of Medical Hypotheses, two ancient populations, the Arzawans and the Hittites, engaged in the mutual use of contaminated animals during the Anatolian War from 1320 to 1318 BCE. The animals were carriers of the Francisella tularensis, the causative agent of tularemia. This is from the author Ciro Trevisanato, a molecular biologist based in Oakville, Ontario, in Canada. Also known as rabbit fever, which I have to say is much easier to say, it's a devastating disease which even today can be fatal if not treated with antibiotics. The disease affects animals such as rabbits, sheep and donkeys, and is passed on to humans through various routes, most commonly through the bite of infected ticks and deer flies. Known as a Hittite plague, the epidemic is clearly described in letters to the Egyptian king Akhenaten. A letter dating around 1335 BCE reports a pestilence in Samaria, a city today near the border between Lebanon and Syria. Despite efforts to contain the epidemic, with donkeys being banned from being used in caravans, the disease contaminated an area stretching from Cyprus to Iraq and from Israel to Syria. Subsequently, wars spread the epidemic to central and western Anatolia, and finally, Aegean soldiers fighting in western Anatolia returned home to their islands, further spreading the epidemic. The weakened Hittite Empire attracted the Arzawans from western Anatolia, and a new war, which lasted between 1320 and 1318 BCE, began. It was at this point that the Hittites used disease-ridden rams and donkeys with the purpose of infecting the enemies. Records indicate that rams began to mysteriously populate the roads in Arzawa. According to Trebensanato, they were sent off by Hittite spies who realized that the animals were involved with spreading the disease. The Hittites were weak when the Arzawans attacked them, yet they somehow smashed the enemy within 2 years. Which kind of secret weapon did they know to or do this Bronze Age blitzkrieg with, given their weakened troops and political mess? To support the bioweapon theory, tablets dating to the 14th and 13th century BCE describe how a ram and a woman attending animals were sent along the roads to spread disease along the way. Watch out for women with sheep, that's what I say. Anyway, farmers in Jingzhou in central China's Hubei province made a rare find, the discovery of a well-preserved ancient tomb. Inside was a coffin dating back more than 2,000 years. Archaeologists have just opened it, seeking to unlock the secrets of the past. The tomb is nearly 5 metres long by 3 metres wide, and each side of the coffin was made from a single piece of wood. Over 300 artefacts have been found in the 4 boxes surrounding the main coffin. Scientists have recovered artefacts made from lacquered wood, pottery, bronze and bamboo. The coffin itself was made exquisitely with 4 layers of silk and elaborate patterns, and in elaborate patterns within it. Experts have ordered a halt to any excavation work in the area to protect the newly found treasure. The coffin, weighing nearly 4 tons, has been moved to the Museum of Jingzhou City, where it has been opened. 6 kilometres away, another tomb was discovered in 1975, from the same period of the Western Han Dynasty. There, the coffin was also double-layered. The remains found in that coffin are regarded as the oldest and best-preserved ever found in China. Experts say that the newly found tomb is similar to the earlier discovery. New archaeological discoveries in the area are now expected. A single population of prehistoric Siberians crossed the Bering Straits into Alaska and subsequently fanned out to populate the whole of the North and South Americas. This is according to a new genetic analysis of present-day indigenous Americans. The study also hints that early Americans reached Central and South America by migrating down the Pacific coast by land or sea and only later spread into the interior of South America. Population geneticist Noah Rosenberg of the University of Michigan, who led the large international study team, said they had good evidence that a single migration from Siberia contributed a large fraction of the ancestry of the Americas. The findings draws on the largest database of North American genetics ever compiled. The data included DNA from nearly 500 people belonging to 29 groups scattered across Canada, Mexico, Central America and South America. The researchers also studied samples from 14 Tundra Nentithi individuals living in eastern Siberia. The team examined 678 genetic markers in the human genome and found that one of the markers ties every Native American group to the Tundra Nentithi. The marker, moreover, is found nowhere else in the world. It's extremely difficult to explain this pattern unless all the Native American populations have to a large degree a shared ancestry. While the study points to an Eastern Siberian origin for most of the genes that spread across the Americas, it cannot rule out the small genetic contributions from other groups. In 2001, scientists unearthed 8,000 to 11,000-year-old skulls in Brazils that strikingly resemble today's Australian Aborigines. The find fueled speculation that several waves of immigrants from different parts of Asia reached the Americas. So even if Native Americans share a lot of ancestry from a single group, there may and still be contributions from other groups. This is never going to end, which I think is the beauty of archaeology and will keep me in a job. Crumbling asphalt roads and docks still mark the town of Umatilla in Oregon, USA. But even deeper are the remnants of a 2,500-year-old tribal village of Matalam. Almost nothing has been done with the 70-acre Umatilla site, found within 800 acres owned by the Army Corps of Engineers. The city was moved to its current site in the mid-1960s to make way for the Columbia River to rise behind the John Day Dam. Now the city of Umatilla and the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation have started talking about what can be done to preserve the area and its history. The site, which is closed to the public, won't be developed with restaurants and hotels, say the city manager. Plans are more likely to involve interpretive signs or possibly a centre where they can store the artefacts and teach visitors about the area's history and culture. Before pioneers came to the area and made Umatilla a shipping centre, Matalam was home to over 1,000 people during the salmon runs. It was one of the largest village sites in Oregon and was a centre of food and trade. Rock art in Egypt is being threatened by increasing numbers of tourists trying to seek far and wide for the Egyptian frontier. Much of the art has been preserved for thousands of years, but it's under risk from more and more people heading towards the sacred areas. The most impressive of Egypt's rock art is in the country's southwest corner near the Sudanese and Libyan borders, where paintings of prehistoric man and beast are located. Rudolf Cooper, a German archaeologist attempting to help protect the art that dates from around 5,000 to 3,000 BCE, said that the entire region's cultural and natural heritage is at stake. "You can't estimate the amount of damage that's being done," said Dr. Rudolf Cooper. "People put water or oil on the paintings to make the faded colours look brighter, causing irreparable damage. Only a small number of tourists visit this region 20 years ago. The amount of travellers, however, visiting today has greatly increased as Egypt continues to move forward on their tourism and development sectors that is now attracting tens of millions of foreigners to the country annually." That's one of these classic cases of the more that people find out about the past, the more we have to consider how we can protect it. So, can I now remind people that many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as a UK heritage calendar, library, guidance section, and so much more, can be found on Badger. That's www.bajr.org. And more can always be found at Stonepages, news.stonepages.com. However, as an added bonus, we have news of two cracking new blogs for you. Past Horizons has its own blog, sharing you news from around the world and also giving you volunteer archaeology opportunities. That's at pasthorizons.wordpress.com. And Badger's joining on the bandwagon, so you can find out more about Badger. In fact, far too much about Badger as I'm writing my autobiography. And you'll find that at badgerblog.wordpress.com. Well, enough shameless hype. Thank you very much for listening to Archaeology News Weekly. We hope you'll return again to us next week.